We live in an age of technology, skill, and expertise. There are new and exciting methods of learning, keeping us well informed and knowledgeable. In fact, there may be those times when we feel a little overwhelmed just trying to keep up, digesting what we see and what we hear. However, we also consider ourselves thinking individuals, able to reason and comprehend, capable of working our way through anything and everything, utilizing the attributes of logic and judgment to our advantage. Now, many things do try to get our attention, inviting us to listen to what they have to say, and to look at what they have to show us. Now, when we stand back and consider what is available and what we have done, we also acknowledge there were times of confusion. Those times when we were not certain what we had seen and what we had heard. The thing is this, someone may say something to us, and we are quite certain that we've heard it correctly. And furthermore, we understood what he or she had to say. Yet, later on, when we recall what the person said, we remember it differently. And we begin to question our ability to grasp and comprehend what was said. We begin to wonder about our ability to listen correctly, asking ourselves if we can continue to rely on our ability to explain and interpret. We see things, convinced that we can describe them quite clearly. But later on, when we look again, our vision reveals something quite different, and we feel that somehow our eyes have deceived us. Now, perhaps it is our method of judgment or our ability to understand. Whatever, it does not matter. In that moment of reflection, it seems that what we had relied on has failed us. And we wonder what is going on. Well, the thing is this. With all of our wonderful advancements, we have a tendency to rely on our physical senses to tell us what we see and what we hear. The witness of physical sense reveals without reason or judgment, simply relaying what is before us at that moment. It has no opinion or suggestion concerning what we should do with it. Physical sense simply lets us know that it is there. It does not give us understanding. The human sense really does not care what we do with our observation. If we are able to remember or not, or if we happen to change our minds, let us not forget that we are responsible for our interpretations and our conclusions. Physical senses are not in charge of our response. Again, they merely report what seems to be. It is our responsibility to develop a method of accountability and discernment. It is our judgment and assumption that determine the value concerning what we receive as information. To gain true knowledge and understanding concerning what we hear and what we see, we must go beyond what is contained in the mind as intellect. There must be righteous judgment, going beyond fluctuating conditions and situations. We will not find truth, value, or significance in what is brief and fleeting. We must take our questions to a deeper source for insight and clarification. You see, it's not so much what we hear or what we see, but rather it is our perception of what we hear and what we see. It is this awareness that provides greater knowledge and understanding. Perception allows us to call something real or unreal, temporary or absolute, discovering the truth of its reality. Looking beyond what appears now demands finer and broader observation, looking beyond and behind the outer. Discernment and insight are qualities outside the range of the five senses. Their revelation is deeper and wider than what our human faculties can report and describe. These are attributes of higher instruction, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding beyond the reach of ordinary man. We may ask the question, what do we want to know about what we hear and what we see? What is our motivating intent when we view life in this way? Regardless of what we hear or what we see, we want to know the truth of it, asking, what is its reality? We do not want to be deceived, going off into areas of erroneous beliefs and uncertain conclusions. The scientist wants to know the truth of his science, asking, what works and what doesn't work? The musician wants to know the truth of her music. What is the value of pitch and tone? What is true of melody and rhythm? Most of all, we want to know the truth about us and the truth about life. Now, when we say we want to know the truth of something, exactly what are we asking for? Well, what is truth? We use this word quite a bit, but what is it? Truth is absolute, changeless, based on principle that is constant and consistent. What is absolute belongs to God. Charles Fillmore, in his book, The Revealing Word, defines truth in this way. The absolute, that which accords with God as divine principle, that which is, has been, and always will be, that which essentially is. Well, that pretty much says it all. Fundamental truth is a principle we can rely on. So, where do we find it? Truth reveals itself in the heart and the soul of man. The inner ear and the eye divine bear witness to the deep silence of the soul. In the stillness, the quiet, receptive attitude receives spiritual illumination and enlightenment. While we do say we would like to know more about truth, we also understand that merely knowing more truth is not enough. Intellectually knowing more truth will not help us benefit from its principle. God has given us an awareness above human knowing. He gave us a spiritual consciousness, one that is prepared to receive spiritual revelation and realization. It is the spirit and the consciousness we entertain about truth that does the work. God gave us his spirit and a sense of his presence, not merely words to describe it. Our work is the development of spiritual consciousness so that we are consciously one with God. As Fillmore reminds us, in accord with God as divine principle. The book of Matthew 13:15 tells us that not everyone is to be prepared to receive what is in the heart. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they are closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. This is the whole story of the human world. I dare say that at some point in the life of an individual, he or she considers the concept of religion, allowing them to either accept it or reject it. They learn enough to understand that religion introduces a new way of life, especially one with a spiritual interpretation, one that takes them outside the confines of human situations and circumstances. They have read that spiritual truth frees them from their present condition, releasing set patterns of behavior and experience. And herein lies their dilemma. You see, if they allow spirit to do the leading and the directing, they could no longer continue in the same old way. Touched by the spirit, they simply would not be that same individual. Remember, those who do turn to this path must not only receive the message through their ears and through their eyes, but they must be willing to perceive it spiritually, and then, most of all, to carry it out in their actual expression. Some individuals simply are not willing, ready, or able to make this transition. Therefore, they stay where they are. So their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed to truth. Nevertheless, not all is lost. Again, the words from the book of Matthew. When the time comes that they may turn and be converted, they shall be healed. The individual willing to step out into new territory is interested in that part about being in accord with God as divine principle. How does one do this? Well, let us return to those qualities of perception, insight, and discernment. These are faculties of our inner nature. They are attributes of the divine self. Let us turn within and acquaint ourselves with the spiritual aspect of being. Its witness is higher revelation because it is spiritual truth. Many authors have written about the lifted consciousness of the inner self, urging us to live, move, and have our being in this place of high calling. Some of our favorite authors are Joel Goldsmith, Lillian DeWaters, H.B. Jeffrey, Nona Brooks, and Melinda Kramer. Each one invites us to lift our eyes, that is, our spiritual eye of discernment on high, and behold only him. They also speak of that inner ear, the one that hears the still small voice of the Master. The Bible speaks a great deal about the process of seeing and hearing. In Proverbs 20:12, we read, "The ear that hears, the eye that sees, the Lord made them both." Jesus understood all of this. He was quite clear when he acknowledged that not everyone has ears to hear and eyes to see, meaning there are varying degrees of discernment and sensibility. Jesus understood our level of consciousness is the determining factor. He considered the awareness of the masses. Now, individuals known as the masses represent the general thinking of the day. This state of consciousness is not nearly high enough or deep enough to comprehend spiritual truth. Jesus' message was nonsense to this awareness. His instruction was that in order to receive truth, one must come out from among the masses to cease relying on the physical senses as their reality. Next, Jesus considered the multitudes. Now, these individuals did hear his message, and they came out from among the masses, willing to follow and listen. They had witnessed his miracles, the feeding of the hungry, the healing of the sick, and yes, the raising of the dead. The consciousness of the multitude was higher than that of the masses. However, its intent and purpose was to chase after the demonstration, the loaves and the fishes, trying to improve their human existence. Jesus spoke to these individuals, to their state of consciousness, in parables, addressing them at the level of their understanding. He did speak of truth, ending with the statement, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." If man receives the message of truth in his soul, and not merely hears it in his head, he may come out from his prior state of awareness, stirred in recognition of his true self. Now, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, he addressed them at the level of their understanding, confirming that perception, discernment, and insight were qualities of a higher consciousness. This state of consciousness is no longer interested in the outer demonstration, seeking rather the pearl of great price, knowledge of their spiritual truth. A disciple follows the one who touches his heart. He calls him the master, the one who speaks the language of eternal life. This individual gives up a sense of home, family, and occupation to walk the spiritual path. Yes, it is straight and it is narrow. There may be obstacles and detours. However, with the soul in charge, this is the only way. Truth drops as a seed into individual consciousness, and our level of awareness determines if it falls by the wayside or if it finds a place in fertile ground. The book of Matthew chapter 13 gives us the parable of the sower. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And this is the answer, isn't it? It is all a matter of consciousness. Some individuals are able to understand spiritual teaching and to follow the spiritual path. That is, until a material or physical problem touches them, and they walk away. It is evident that they had not taken the message deep enough, and that their consciousness had not responded to it. Others hear the message. However, they are more concerned with the cares of the world, entertaining those thorns of fear and anxiety, choking the spiritual impulse and destroying it. then there was that seed that fell on fertile ground. The quote from the passage. But he that receives seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit, and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This is the reward for the one who has ears to hear and eyes to see beyond appearance. This one continues to the mark of high calling. Remember, truth drops as a seed into individual consciousness. This morning we prepare our consciousness to be the one of fertile ground, able to receive the fruit of the Spirit. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. The sanctuary in the soul of man invites us to enter and be at peace. We can do this at any time. Just turn to me and you will find me. The voice of inner being urges us to be still. The inner ear, the eye divine, perceive and discern beyond human ability. Lifted consciousness reveals the spiritual realm of life with no boundaries, restrictions, or limitations. In the solitude of this moment, we are free. Free to live, move, and have our being as the infinite self, the one of eternal life. Where I stand is holy ground. We release all concerns for what is passing, what is fleeting, claiming what is lasting and permanent, acknowledging what is of God. This is our truth, our reality. At any time, in any place, we may say with Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and form are his. Praise him all ye. Joyful praise unto his name. Amen.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.